So did you get your fill of baseball last week on opening day and opening weekend?
Yes, John. I am full of baseballs.
Full of baseballs?
I am like the drug mule that comes across the border to bring opioids and narcotics to the people of America. I have consumed all the baseballs, and eventually I will poop them out.
Well, I was fortunate enough that I was able to be online last Thursday, and I watched at least an inning or two of every game, all 15 games. Ooh. Last week. It was glorious.
It is great to watch. It is great to have on in the background, to watch it intently. It is a great sport.
Yeah, it is a great background.
Sorry about the whole drug mule thing there. Sometimes my mind takes the wheel.
There's that internal struggle that you have to deal with.
Yes. And it just, sometimes I lose. And sometimes I just let go and let it do its thing.
Yeah, and a lot of times when that happens, it's comedy gold.
Yeah, a lot of times. Other times, it's a car wreck.
So this is Foul Territory Baseball Podcast. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is episode 99, the Aaron Judge episode, the epic.
Yes.
The ultimate. And I also was doing some research. Next week, we have more than just the Adam Ottavino. We have a significant player in the history of baseball that wore the number zero for numerous seasons.
Oh.
So we'll get to that. That's a little bit of a teaser. So tune in next week or the week after, whenever we next post.
Next episode.
The next episode. The zero episode of Foul Territory. But yeah,
why don't they just have a number 100? Why can't someone wear a number 100?
I would think that teams that have been around for a while, like the Yankees, have retired what, a dozen numbers or more. Eventually, you're going to run out of the double digit numbers.
Let's just put barcodes on these people.
Why not? You know, we're going to get the advertising eventually, so you know they're going to look like soccer jerseys.
Yeah, they're getting everyone visually ready for the advertising with all the like commemorative badges. Like, right. Oh, it's 150 years. Well, we'll just replace that with AMCO Auto Parts.
And if we can do the Technicolor, you know, fan appreciation jersey weekend that mm-hmm. is softball style jerseys and stuff, we're getting there. Yeah. We're working on
the one that causes seizures.
Right,
yeah,
right. The clown colors. Yeah, good times. So what was your takeaway? What were your highlights for opening weekend?
The biggest thing that I took away was that Dodgers offense looks like it's better than anyone was thinking.
Yeah.
That's a lot of home runs.
Yeah, what was it? 8 home runs in the was it
eight
opening day?
8 home runs opening day. The previous record was 6. And then I think through 3 or 4 games they were at like 13 or 14 home runs. Like it's a very explosive team. You know what they should do? They should call themselves Montezuma's Revenge. That's how explosive they are.
They are. They definitely have the offense. Now if the injured pitching can come around. But then
do they even need? What do they even need good pitchers for?
10-8 works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Kershaw pitched last night in the minors.
And?
Looked okay.
Yeah.
Almost like 5 innings pitched. So probably figure one more rehab start, then he's back in the majors.
And that'll be a short little stint for him. You know, it's better to get it out of the way at the front of the season.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can, you know, last more than a couple months. But the last,
and you got to figure they're just going to control. I mean, they have so much good starting pitching. Just they don't have to run him out there every 5 days.
No, not necessary.
Yeah.
Especially since, you know, he could do a start and pitch 4 innings and be good and then just let the offense take care of it from there.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see if he gets the run support, because that's been an issue in the past for him too, is not getting the run support. So
yeah.
Watch, there'll be, you know, he'll do a start and it'll be a 1-0, you know, ball game that they scratch out a run on an error in the 8th inning. And he came out in the 7th.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Felix Hernandez got some run support. I thought that was kind of funny. Got his first win of the year. Like, all those years of no run support while being one of the best pitchers in the league, and like now he's like
he's the number five ball,
whatever guy, and they're like, hey, here's your run support now.
Yeah.
Is it too late? I'm sorry.
He was. I think he felt like the last year was a blip as a result of how that performance went. But he pitched well, not great. He's never going to be what he used to be. But you know, I would say that probably the biggest surprise for me is Seattle. You know, is just in the same boat as the Dodgers with the home run power. Everybody's hitting home runs.
Yeah,
that's been a big surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, that team is going to falter, you know, at a certain point. But it's always good to see, like, a mediocre team go on a little run and stuff, you know. Like, but then it's the kind of team where they'll go, you know, 5-15 at some point.
You mean that Ryan Healy and Jay Bruce can't carry that team to the wild card?
I don't think Dan Vogelbach.
Yeah, although he had a game winner.
Set the world on fire.
It's pretty
hey,
sweet.
Look, I'm not saying they're not going to win games. Did you see the Orioles beat up the Yankees?
Yeah, first-place Orioles.
Exactly my point. The first place Orioles. The thing is, like, just think how bad the end of the season will be for them, where they're like, they were in first place at one point, and they'll wind up like 20 games out in third, out of fourth place. It's going to be a bad season for them. That's a bad lineup of players. Like, it's really bad, John.
Yeah, and Chris Davis is off to a hot 0-17 start.
Chris Davis was like, oh, you thought I had a bad year last year? You ain't seen nothing yet.
And he's already complaining about the fans booing him. He said, they have every right to. I get it, but it still hurts.
I'm a person too.
Does it hurt, Chris?
Does it hurt?
He's like dabbing his tears with $100 bills. He's like, I'm crying, and it hurts so much.
But he, you know, he's been getting a lot of support from, you know, teammates saying he's one of the best teammates they've ever played with.
So he buys them stuff is basically what
he's like. Yeah, do whatever you can.
$23 million a year.
Yeah,
for three more years
for being the worst player in baseball.
And yeah, like, and maybe the worst player in the last 50 years.
Something to aspire to, folks. Kids,
I mean,
you too can make
$23 million extension truthers.
Yeah,
like, think about it, Jacoby Ellsbury. Chris Davis, think about it.
Yeah, they're not complaining too much. What they should
do... Those were both contract extensions or contracts that were signed past their peak years.
And they should be giving their agents bonuses every year. Every year. It's like, I know you guys get a big chunk of change, but thank you. Thank you for being there for me 7 years ago. Just before the fall.
Oof.
Yeah, it's been... I think probably the other biggest news story of the week is the extension palooza continues.
Yeah, it kept on rolling.
And it's good. I think this is the best thing that has happened. And people are like, oh, it's a collusion thing. They're trying to get a step up on the next collective bargaining agreement and lockout. I completely disagree. I think the owners finally realized that they're better spending their money on players that will actually produce than on people who are in the end of their career. People are signing, you know, mega contracts and they're 28, 29, 30 season, which means they're only going to get 2 to 3 good years out of those players. Why not sign them early for lower money and get great results? Tremendous
value. I wonder if that is sort of over. You know, like, there's someone like Chris Davis, the other Chris Davis, the one that actually hits.
Right.
I think he's a free agent after this year, and he's an interesting case because he's just a DH, but he hits like 40 home runs a year. Right. And
hits 247.
Hits 247, but also has a decent on-base percentage and so has a lot of offensive value. So, but like, what's he going to get? Like, he's not going to get a Chris Davis with a C contract. He's going to get one of these new sort of like JD Martinez deals, which was, I got to figure JD's coming opting out this year as well. He's already proving that he can still hit.
Well, Chris Davis would be rooting for that, because if those are the two best... Chris with a K. Because that will help establish some value for him.
Yeah.
If he's the only one, then he may that would be a huge advantage to him.
Yeah.
And if the Red Sox continue their pace, Martinez will definitely opt out.
Yes.
But I don't expect that to happen. The best 2-6 team in baseball.
Yeah, they're just having some starting pitching problems.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the bullpen's been kind of fine. It's just the starting pitching has been, like, really grotesque.
Are you at all concerned about the velocity reduction for Chris Sale, or is this just amping up?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely concerned. But I'm not concerned about, like, his career. I'm just concerned, like, it may be that they just need to, like, give him a month off and, you know, prepare for the playoffs. Like, I'm not saying, like, they're in the playoffs, but, like, let him get out there and pitch. The last game he pitched, he should have won, even though he didn't strike many people out. I think he just struck out a couple.
But maybe
people,
he's flipping the script, because the last several seasons he's been on fire in the for the first 3-4 months and then kind of has it slowly
yeah.
tails off. Maybe he's like, you know,
everybody
else can carry the team. I'll be dominant when I need to be.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not, though, John. You've played sports, right?
Yes, quite a bit.
Okay, yeah.
I was being facetious. So,
okay. I know, John.
Okay.
I'm playing along with the facetiousness.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm doubling down on the facetiousness.
Let's see. There's some, you know, more stuff going on here too. There is the before we get into some of those other headlines, did you see the Ramon Laureano throws? I'm sure you did.
No. No, don't talk about those.
That second one though, the one to third base, was that's all on Bogaerts though. Because he kind of trotted out of the box, then he hesitated around second. He's in standing up if he sprints out of the box. But that throw, that was such a bang bang throw. Pretty amazing. He got Bogaerts twice, right? Once at home.
Yeah, he got Bogaerts twice, and then Betts last night.
But highlights that throw, the one at third was a.
No, it's great, John. I love talking about this too.
But this is a baseball podcast, not a Red Sox podcast, right?
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Let's just keep talking
Moving
about
on.
It. The wound is still open. You're pouring salt in it. I understand. Maybe that'll heal it in some way. No, fine. I get
but
it.
Do you take comfort in knowing that the Yankees are imploding too?
No, you know, actually, I think it's better for baseball if the Yankees are doing well. I'm befuddled by all their injuries. It's very Angels-esque.
Right. It's 11 guys on the IL already?
Yeah, it's really, like, that's another lineup where it's like, wow, that's not really that terrifying at all.
Yeah,
anymore.
Their pitching has been okay. Their hitting has not been very good.
Yeah.
And so, big shocker, Troy Tulowitzki, huh?
Yeah, that's the least surprising thing in the known universe.
I wonder who had Tulowitzki the over-under on six games, seven games. Made a boatload of money on that one. Or maybe not.
I was
going to
say, I think
under.
The bet would have been over seven games.
Right.
That person lost his shirt.
Yeah. We have some news, and the whole extension palooza that's been going on has had a little bit of a trickle-down effect on salaries, and the average salary has gone down as a result of how numbers are calculated with bonuses and guaranteed money and defer money. So Trout is no longer the highest-paid player. He held that for what, days?
No, he was the highest-paid player for last year.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Greinke was.
And so because of his extension, the first year, he's only actually making a $10 million salary or a $15 million salary and a $20 million signing bonus.
Right.
So I don't understand
the mathematics
accounting
and all that.
Of that, like what that, how that matters for anyone, but sure, why not?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, a $330 million deal or a $430 million deal or a $300 million deal is still a lot of money.
Yes.
But inflation will have its toll on them, and they'll, you know, long-term values will be significantly less, but still.
And then Scherzer is now taking over the first place.
Yeah, 37.
Even though a lot of his money is deferred.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the Harper deal from the Nationals?
Mm-mm.
Apparently there was like deferrals in it that was like for the next 40 years.
It's like, I don't know if I'll be around.
Yeah, like we don't even know if this planet's going to exist in 40 years, John.
So that was their offer?
Have you seen all the talk about how the planet's going
to
end in 12 years?
No.
It reminds me a lot of 12 years ago when people were saying the planet's going to end in 12 years. And that always reminded me of 12 years before that.
Right.
When people were saying that the world is going to end in 12 years.
So we had the 1984 scenario, the 1999 Y2K thing, the 2012.
Yeah.
Something to talk about.
Yeah.
Is this
it's something to get people excited, because the whole Russia Trump thing is falling apart. So it's like, you know what we need to do? We need to get everybody worried about whether the planet's going to be here.
Oh, but we got the taxes now. It's all about the taxes.
Is it? Is that the new thing?
That's the new headline.
I saw somebody posted something on Twitter. It was like, everyone's tax return should just be publicly available. Like, whoa. Whoa. Sorry, what?
Right.
First of all, there's an argument against income tax as a constitutional thing.
But
there's
it's not
an argument
in the Constitution.
Against that.
That's the thing.
The thing is, like, one could argue that it's prohibited right. by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. One could argue. Anyway, that's a whole separate thing.
Wesley Snipes has argued that.
Well, you know he's argued it. Many people have.
Right.
But here's the thing. Did you know that the law that went in, like these laws that get passed to institute these things, so many of them were done with like the shadiest of circumstances. Like they would do these things where they would hold a vote during holiday breaks
right.
or around holiday time. So there was the minimum number of congressional voters in the Washington, D.C., right? Because it's not like today where like people, you know, fly here and there or whatever. Like they would go home to their right. place in Utah. Mm-hmm.
You actually made a documentary film that focused a little bit on that, did you not?
I did. And sometimes people don't, they would pass these laws without fully understanding the effects mm-hmm. that they would create.
I always love when there's a 1,000-page document that's put out on a Wednesday and there's a vote on a Friday.
Right.
That's always good times.
Or vote on a Thursday morning.
Right.
Like
no one had a chance to read that, but we'll get to it later.
Yeah. Well, was it Pelosi said? It was like, we'll pass a law to see what's in it.
Right. Right. That's good. That's
all
smart.
Right.
Really good.
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, though. So the Red Sox are the big spenders for the second year in a row. No surprise.
So
there.
They got the biggest salary. And it went up a little bit with the Bogarts extension, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then Bogarts went out and celebrated by getting thrown out twice on the base paths against...
The second one, and not to pour more salt on the wound, but he was very upset at himself, I think.
Yes.
He was like, I think he might have even been in tears in the dugout.
Well, I don't know about that.
There was a lot of consoling going on.
He knew he had made a mistake. Mm-hmm. In A, he kind of was jogging it out to start. And then B, like, you just got thrown out at third in the ninth inning.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
Anyway, it's been a rough start. I think it's a little weird, honestly. I think it's a little weird for the defending world champs to start the season. Like,
on
they
the
haven't
road.
Been home yet.
Yeah.
It's like an 11-game road trip to start the season.
When is their home opener?
I think it's Monday or Tuesday.
Wow, that's a long. That is unusual.
Yeah, 11 games into the season. Yeah, they go Seattle, Oakland, Arizona. They're in Arizona through the weekend.
Wow.
And then they go home for their home opener. Like, these are the world champions.
They get to, but the good news is that they'll have these 10, 11 games out of the way. So the schedule is stacked in their favor after this.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know. That Rays team looks... We might need to rethink who's going to win that division.
Yeah,
that Rays team looks
really
like
good.
A buzzsaw.
And the Rays have the lowest salary in Major League Baseball at $61 million, and they are looking like one of the best teams.
Yeah.
Interesting. Did you see the reliever, the movement on his fastball?
Yeah.
That I don't know how physics allows a ball to do what that ball did. That was like a screwball amped up. That ball moved a good 6-8 inches in the last 15 feet.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't remember the guy's name, but middle reliever just throwing heat at 100 miles an hour and the ball's moving crazy. So they're
and strikeouts are up. Speaking of balls moving crazy, strikeouts are up again. They've been going trending up every year for like the last 14 years. Is that what it is? Or 12 years?
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're up. On pace to be up again. People are swinging for the fence. Pitchers are throwing harder and crazier. And I mean, people like strikeouts.
Yeah.
Not really.
What did you think about Bryce Harper's return to Washington?
Well, I thought that It's funny, Bryce Harper is doing the Bryce Harper that I thought he was going to do last year in preparation for free agency. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was just under too much pressure about free agency. Maybe that's why he took that deal that was slightly less, well, a lot less average annual value. And just was like, look, I'll never have to worry about free agency ever again.
Right, now he's relaxed.
And now he's relaxed and he's hitting 500 or whatever with tons of walks, yeah, and on, and home, and a couple of home runs. And
His first home run, I think, that or the, was it in? Yeah, it was in Washington. The one in Washington is like, yeah, 460 feet. He's like, take, yeah, that, Nationals.
Yeah,
and the fans were.
And he got, you know, he got booed and whatever, time, yeah, and like, you know, it's, he's one of those guys though. Like, you love to have him on your team, and as soon as he's not, you hate him.
You're
so
anti. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Corey Knebel, like, out, opted after debating whether or not he should go the Tommy John route, decided to do that. So we now can expect any day a signing for
Kimbrel.
Kimbrel, yeah, the other K.
The thing I've heard is actually Kimbrel to the Phillies and the Nationals. I know it's like we keep hearing these things because we thought they were close to signing with the Braves or with the Brewers, and there were all these, and then, but now the Phillies apparently are starting to think like, well, maybe Sir Anthony Dominguez and David Robertson aren't like the bullpen closers that we need. Maybe, right, we need to go all out.
I heard too that there's conversation that they're going to get both Keuchel and Kimbrel. They're
Phillies?
Yeah. There was a couple of articles this week about why the Phillies, yeah, should go all in.
I mean, they have the money.
They have the money. They're winning.
Yeah, those are good players too. It's not like you're picking up off the scrap heap. It's, no, not like Gio Gonzalez getting rocked, right, in a minor league game last night. You know what I mean? Like, these are good,
he's
players.
Just working on a few things.
Well, yeah, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Cavan Biggio, mm-hmm, lefty on lefty, took him deep. Man, that was a sweet swing. Underrated prospect, because, yeah, you know, Guerrero gets all the pub and Bichette gets all the secondary pub, and it's like, no, there's another son of a famous.
Right. All three of them will be up this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, I think the Blue Jays will be exciting to watch.
It's going to be a bit of a mess, you know, but like, it's going to be exciting,
yeah,
to watch.
You get these.
But they traded Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
Right. So it's basically like, look, we're resetting this thing.
And I think
they got rid of,
yeah,
Kendrys Morales.
I think he's got to be looking at, like, I thought we were on a downswing. Now I'm going to the Giants.
I know. Jeez. He got traded to the Giants. Thanks. He's like, what am I even doing here? Though I will say the Giants having Kevin Pillar in center field is genius.
Yeah.
Because Pillar is one of the best center fielders in the league, and that's one of the biggest outfields in the league. Mm-hmm. If it's a smart play, it just, what are the Giants even doing? Like, this is a bad baseball team.
Yeah, I think they really should rethink Madison Bumgarner's role. I think they should be working him out at first base.
Yeah,
I think he's a better advantage.
But Brandon Belt's actually hitting.
Yeah, he's hitting, but so is Bumgarner. Or maybe, you know, DH, when the DH gets when they play in the DH games. Yeah, because he's,
yeah, actually, maybe let's implement the DH this year.
Yeah, go ahead, do it mid-season. All-Star break.
I'd be into it.
All-Star break. I'm in.
Yeah,
yeah. So we talked a little bit about the Yankees getting all these injuries. Andujar out too. Stanton injury. Tulowitzki. So they have 11 players on the DL.
Yeah. Because that joins like Severino,
yeah,
and like
that's not really a good start. But again, like, you know, with the Red Sox, get the hopefully the bad stuff out of the way early and create that Yankees Red Sox rivalry, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah,
it should be good. Hopefully,
yeah,
hopefully these teams do bounce back, because it's, yeah, good for baseball when there's that level of hatred towards teams.
Yeah. And can we just say one thing on the Yankees injuries? None of them named Greg Bird.
Yeah.
He's like the only one not injured on the team.
Yeah, he's actually, they're platooning right at first base this year.
Well, no, now he's just playing.
Oh, is he everyday player?
Yeah, well, there's no platoons.
He's in.
He's in.
So sink or swim, Greg.
Yeah. We'll see. He's not on your team this year, John.
So he'll probably do very well. He'll have a great season. Yeah. So Daniel Murphy, and just last weekend, and then Trey Turner just a couple nights ago, broken fingers.
Yeah, Trey Turner, that's the big.
Yeah, that's huge
a
impact.
One. Yeah, that's too bad. I know a lot of fantasy baseball owners took him in the first round, you know, and he was already off to like stealing all kinds of crazy bases. And, well, you can't steal if you're not on base. You're not getting on base with a broken finger.
Right.
And the Daniel Murphy injury is funny for the Rockies because it, like, it well, they probably shouldn't have signed Daniel Murphy in the first
place. Yeah, it allows people to play.
But that team looks all disjointed and it's not starting off well, that team. But, then, you know, whatever. It's just the beginning of the season. Like, you know, they get home. They haven't had their home opener. They have their home opener today.
Yeah, that's important for them.
Yeah.
They have to take advantage of the Colorado atmosphere and get their wins at home.
Yeah.
It's a big part of their success.
We'll see.
So we'll see. I think by the end of the month, we'll have a better idea of trends. And, you know, there's always
I was thinking of doing an around the horn next week or the week after where we just kind of like first impressions on each team.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
So
one of my favorite stories of the week was the Hess, forgetting his first name, for the Orioles.
David Hess, right?
Yeah. 82 pitches, 6 1/3 innings, no hitter, gets yanked. And the best
new
part
managers, man.
Yeah, the best part about it was him actually saying to the press, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Now I know my pitch count was low. But the manager, Hyde, said that, he was on a restricted pitch count. We let him go over that because he had pitched in relief on opening day and blah, blah, blah. It's kind of weird. And another favorite part from that game is that the Toronto fans were booing him when he came to take him out in Toronto. It's like, what are you doing? We got a no-hitter going here.
Yeah, they're like, there's nothing happening with our team. We want to see a no-hitter.
Right. We need some excitement here. But there was, I don't know if that was the game that it was a dual no-hitter into the sixth inning. There was a game within the last two or three nights that had but that happens. Early season is always pitchers have an advantage anyway, so you're going to have those type of games to start.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the Dodgers had this, 2 years ago, or maybe even they had one last year too, right, with like Stripling or something like that, where it was like no hitter through seven, but like that, we can't pitch him anymore. Like if we put 30 more pitches on his arm, it's going to fall off, or maybe it will, or maybe it won't. Or
well, the Hyde said that, you know, that four straight balls, you know, was an ugly at bat.
Yeah.
So after, you know, 78 pitches of really good pitching, four in a row means that's it. Yank them, take them out.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, to Hyde's defense, he said, I'm more interested in seeing him get 30 starts to go deep on a no-hitter early in the season because, you know, we want to make sure that we only lose 110 games, not 120. No, he didn't say that, actually, but I'm sure he was thinking that, you know, whatever we can do to stop this nosedive from being the worst in the history of the game, we should be thinking about that in April. No.
That's a bad lineup.
Yeah, it's really
bad. I know they've won games, and bless their hearts, but that is a bad lineup.
So I didn't hear about this Adam Jones story. So he pointed somebody out and said, get that person out of here because he's being mean to me?
Basically, well, you know, a couple of years ago, there was an incident in Boston where there was a Boston fan, who was using racial terms. I know it's hard to believe that happens in Boston, but it did. Anyway, that guy got kicked out of the game. But yeah, apparently this guy was just using bad language.
Oh, and he just was pointing out that, you know, that's not fair to the people around him. You know, the families that are there with their kids and just...
Yeah, and they got the guy kicked out.
Be polite. That was his statement, right? Keep the banter polite.
Keep the banter polite.
Have you ever been to a ball game where you heard polite banter?
Yeah, like when I was taunting David Justice about sleeping with his ex-wife.
Right. And you had the entire section cheering you on, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, it was great times.
But Adam Jones, surprisingly, off to a good start.
Yep. Yeah, they have him batting leadoff, which is a little strange for a guy who has such a low on-base percentage. But really, with Arizona, you take what you can get. Yeah, he'll get 20, 25 home runs this year. He's a solid player. As long as he's not playing center field, he's a good outfielder. I think the Indians should have signed him. I thought that was – the Indians are one of those teams where, like, that's another lineup where it's like, even when Lindor comes back, what is this?
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah. The pitching.
I mean, the starting rotation is insane. It's amazing. Trevor Bauer looks like he's you know, Cy Young this year. But
so imagine if you had the Indians pitching with the Dodgers hitting, that team would be a buzzsaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could all fly around in our unicorns and go to Narnia for the World Series. What are you talking about?
Just the combination of the hitting and pitching.
Well, whose bullpen would we cobble together from? The Yankees bullpen? Because that's a pretty awesome bullpen.
That's a pretty awesome bullpen, yeah.
Even though Betances is on the injured list.
Yeah, good times. Good times early season. It is always fun to watch stats go, you know, sky high, and someone's got a, you know, batting average of 800 and their power stats are off the charts, and then they come back to earth. Everything settles out in the end. And even with, you know, every day in fantasy baseball, you watch your team pick up 15 points and lose 15 points, you know, on a daily basis. It's early, folks. Nothing to get overly excited about, but when the dust settles, the cream rises to the top. Wow, look at all those mixed metaphors.
When the dust settles on the cream, you're backed up against the eight ball.
So what's this about all-star vote leaders getting bonuses? What's up with this?
Yeah. So vote leaders get a $15,000 bonus.
At each position?
Yeah.
Wow. So more incentive for these guys that need it?
No. Like $15,000, I'm sorry. I don't think Mike Trout cares about $15,000. No, what is it? What?
It's a haircut.
I don't even... I can't even comprehend, like, what this... Like, what's the idea here? Like, is it to make a rookie feel bad, like an underpaid player feel bad for not getting more votes?
Maybe.
Is that the incentive here?
Does that make the underwhelmer try harder? I don't know. I don't see 15K as nothing.
Yeah. I mean, even like for a player that's making the minimum, which is whatever, 500,000, that's still pretty low.
Yeah, it is.
Stupid incentive. Stupid baseball. I will say baseball is a great sport, but some of the management decisions
we'll give the home run derby
dubious.
Winner $1 million, but if you make the all-star team, you get couch change.
Yeah.
That's
like, why don't you just make it like 1.5 million and forget about all these $15,000 bonuses.
Yeah. That is the all-star showcase is the home run derby.
Yeah.
Although to prospect lovers, it's the futures game. All about
that's the one I watch. I haven't watched the actual All-Star game in 8 years.
Yeah, it's been a long
time. But I always catch at least some of the prospect game.
Yeah. People always rise from there and become the superstars of tomorrow.
That's right.
It's always good.
That's right.
I didn't see this one either. Was this, obviously it's recent because the season's only a week old, but the Astros hitting coach and AJ Hinch were tossed from a game for arguing. Balls and strikes?
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it was Ron Culpa, and I apologize if I have his name wrong, but I don't care. was a very odd strike zone on this particular evening, and some of the players were just kind of like, you know, jawing at him, and then he starts going like full like, this is my house, and I can do what I want.
Did he really?
I can do whatever I want. Yeah, he was like going nutso on AJ Hinch. And then winds up throwing out the, and then like it like goes back to the behind the plate, but is like staring into the dugout, like just like go on, just try it. One of you just say something, and I'll get you. And then AJ Hinch is like, dude, put your eyes on the game. Like you're the ump. Let's play the game. And the guy's like, I can do whatever I want. It was pretty crazy.
Wow.
So I went out and bought my Ron Culpa umpire jersey.
He'll be in counseling.
Like so many other baseball fans.
Right, because the fact that you named, umpires don't have that branding that they used to have back in the day. You know, it was all about style, you know, and they were known for their style or their longevity. Now,
I don't know, maybe he's getting a divorce or something and whatever, and he's just letting it out.
Yeah,
but
could be.
Like, it was just like, dude, it's the beginning of the year. What are you doing? You're already at 10. Like, let's dial it down to about a 4, all right?
So talking about silly money, the Dodgers filing a lawsuit over missing bobbleheads?
Yeah, so they placed an order for some Tommy Lasorda bobbleheads, which, by the way, are an annual tradition. And they do tend to go with the younger-looking Lasorda and not the current...
Aged, scary.
We'll say. Yes. There's a certain, frightfulness to the... And look, I'm not saying he needs to wear makeup or anything. No. Like, just maybe just don't go out in public.
And he's pushing 90, isn't he?
He's up there, man. Yeah. Plus all that pasta, you know, and like the... Anyway, good for him. He's going to live forever. He's a great ambassador for the sport. He is.
And he's a poster child for, hey, you don't need to take care of your body.
Hey, he's my hero. Right. Okay. So, but anyway, so they placed this order for 40,000 bobbleheads, and the company didn't make them. They had made other bobbleheads, but they didn't make these. So there's like this whole, now they're suing them, and just like, why do you have to sue? And it was unclear, like, from the article I read, they were just kind of like, I'm not sure why they... What's the argument here? You either delivered them or you didn't deliver them.
Can't they... how long does it
it's
take
not like
to
they
make
went
40,
missing.
000, yeah, how long does it take to make 40,000 bobbleheads? Is that months That's, long process?
How much bobblehead would a bobblehead bobble if a bobble could bobble bobbleheads? Right.
Yeah, and they've become a big thing. You know, it's like people have, you know, shelves full of these you know, annual bobblehead collections, and I don't quite understand, but yeah, I guess.
In our softball league, when I used to do softball, the MVP trophy that we gave out was a bobblehead glued onto a like a trophy mount.
Nice. Was it? Yeah, was it a special bobblehead of players on the team?
It was usually just whatever bobblehead I had laying around.
Oh, I got you.
You
know? So it was your
like. Yeah.
You didn't have
you wouldn't
custom
buy them,
bottle.
But I would just have them because I'd go to so many Dodger games, I would just have them. Like, I remember the 1 year I won the MVP, which was, I will admit, was a voting anomaly and had more to do with me making every game and performing statistically well as opposed to actually being the best player on the team. Mm-hmm. But the best players on the team only played
half the game,
like six or seven games. And if you needed to play eight to qualify, so it was between me and, like, you know, the guy who we only had on the team because he was a pitcher and, you know, a couple other dudes that are just like, wow, look at this is what it's like to be outside. So I won, and it was a Kirk Gibson. Bobblehead.
Very nice.
Had that for many years.
They actually, you can have bobbleheads made of yourself now.
Yes, yes, you can. Yes. You
know, a one-off, I would assume. And a very expensive bobblehead.
Maybe you would make 40,000 and then they would just disappear.
Right. And then you could sue for 175.
Whoa.
Large and make money on the deal.
That's right.
Could happen.
Well, here's the thing. I got to sue for 175,000 because if I've got 40,000 bobbleheads, John, I'm making at least 200,000 off that.
Yes. So that wraps up headlines for this week. We'll look forward to see how the world turns for the Yankees and the Red Sox in our next episode. Hopefully they'll turn the tide. And if the Dodgers will continue to hit at a torrid pace, all the talk going into the season was the Yankees were going to break records for home runs. I think it might be the Dodgers.
I mean, they look awesome.
Yeah.
They look awesome.
And they still have guys coming up. Did Verdugo make the roster?
Verdugo made the roster, okay. Hit his first home run. This year already.
So, yeah, they have power waiting in the wings, too. They have a catcher, two catchers waiting in the wings.
Two catchers.
Yeah, so.
But Austin Barnes is hitting in his 2017 style, so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Let's keep an eye on those Dodgers.
Yeah.
So.
I'm telling you, they're going back to the World Series.
Yeah, you said that. That was your prediction. Yeah. Third time's a charm. Yeah.
That's right.
So in honor of the Final Four, which is this weekend, starting nine focuses on players with tournament Elite Eight names.
So it's a starting eight.
Starting eight instead of the starting nine.
Yeah. So there'll be one team that's the pitcher.
Okay. Sounds good.
So they don't count. They don't count. So here we go. We got starting nine or starting eight for all the Elite Eight teams using Major League Baseball players. Started off with Rafael Duke Blue Devers.
Okay, good. The Blue Devers.
Blue Devers. Yes, so it also sounds a little bit racially inappropriate, but I'm just saying Rafael Devers, Duke Blue Devils. Next one is the Auburn Tigers Buttry.
Okay.
Ty Buttry.
Okay.
The Angels. Or is it the Angels? Yeah, it's the Angels. Michigan State... Oh, I didn't do this one. Let's do it on the spot. Here we go. Michigan State, Denard Spantons.
Good. Wow, that was pretty impressive if that was total spontaneity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should do stand-up.
I should do stand-up, yeah. That's good. I get up and do starting nines for the night.
For the night.
Sounds good. Here we go. Gonzaga, Anna Bulldog Sanchez.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anna Bulldogs.
Anna Bulldogs. Texas Tech, Red Robbie Raiders.
Good. Nice.
Robbie Ray. Kentucky Tyler Wild Chats Wood. That's Wild Tyler Chatwood. Yeah.
That's good.
Wild Chats Wood.
Okay.
Purdue Matt Boyle Shoemakers.
There you go. Good.
And by the way, if someone could ever actually commercialize Boyle Shoemakers.
Still don't know what a Boilermaker is, but yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Is
that's
it the
drink,
drink,
right?
Or is it the actual, you know, forging Boilermaker or boilers? Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
A bunch of Lushes.
Yeah. Or is it boy Lurmakers as opposed to girl Lurmakers?
Oh, there's a Y in there, not an I. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Something to think about.
Something to
think about. Only Purdue knows. All right, last one. Virginia Francisco Cavalierianos.
Very good. Yeah, nice. So do you have a prediction? Do you care?
I think Virginia's going to do the we were knocked out in the first round last year and come back and win the title.
Well, their path was made pretty, I don't want to say easy, not to say that the final four teams are ever inappropriate, but it couldn't have been a better weekend because when Duke, Kentucky lose, that makes me very happy. And North Carolina. Those three teams are kind of like the teams that you always expect to be in the Final Four, and when they
right.
get knocked out, it kind of makes you happy. Unless you're a
yeah.
fan of those teams.
Yeah. So our apologies to fans of those teams, but honestly, you had a good run.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. Let some other teams in on it. But I think Texas Tech has a chance to make some surprises here. So we'll see.
Yeah. But I feel like it's a good example of why what the one thing that's wrong with when you have these great recruiting classes of guys where like three of them are going to enter the draft
mm-hmm.
after the first year is it does take a little while for players playing together
sure.
to really gel. And like if you have better players, it takes you can cover up some of that non-gelling.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched what I saw in that Duke game was a team that just wasn't quite all on in sync with each
well,
other.
They had
you know,
four of their games in the tournament, or three of the four games in the tournament, they were nail biters, last second
yeah.
wins.
Yeah.
So they got lucky to get that far. Although,
but you know, you got to get playing together. You got to get so that you're basically you're all in the same menstrual cycle.
Right.
You know, like you're just. You finish each other's sentences, that sort of thing.
You're in flow, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's what they mean when they say, I'm feeling the flow.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, it's that time of month.
Okay. And everybody's in sync. That's good.
Yeah.
Right.
Metaphorically speaking, John.
Sure. Because we all know that men don't have cycles. Well, they do, but
John,
not
we
those.
We don't even want to get into that.
No. Okay. That ends this week in menstruation. Let's move on to Around the Horn.
That's why they call it menstruation, John.
That's good. Good comedy. So Around the Horn. This will be, I think, the third week in a row that we've been able to fit this in, which is always a good
yeah.
thing. We're going to talk about some of the end-of-the-year hardware, who Jed thinks is going to win for each team.
Yeah.
Sound good? You're going to do...
Yeah, so we'll go every team... And then I'll give either an MVP, a Cy Young, or a Rookie of the Year candidate for each team off the top of my head, no preparation. And if I can do multiples from a team, I'll try my best.
Okay. Let's start off with the Braves.
Okay. So MVP possibility, Ronald Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think they have any chance for Cy Young. And Rookie of the Year, I don't think they have. I mean, they have a couple of the pitchers.
Right.
But I don't think that their pitchers are going to get Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Mets.
Obviously, DeGrom is always a candidate for Cy Young, and I think he's better than Syndergaard, who, as it turns out, maybe is not quite as great as we had all kind of hoped that Thor would be.
He's a Dark Knight candidate.
Wait, Dark Knight candidate?
To go the way of
you
the
mean
Dark
he might
Knight.
Turn into... Oh, to go that, I'm like... Wait, is he saying Dark Horse?
No.
But you mean like you think he's going to flame out.
Right.
I don't think he's going to flame out. I just don't think he's necessarily going to be like a top five starter in the league.
I think he benefits by DeGrom taking that step up.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be the guy. So we'll see. What about, DeGrom is Cy Young and MVP candidate, right?
Right, that's true. And then Pete Alonso would be the Rookie of the Year candidate that they have. And I don't think that they have a true MVP candidate. I mean, Conforto, I love. You know I love him so much. I talk about him all the time. But I don't know if he's an MVP candidate player.
Phillies, a whole bunch of.
So Philly, I mean, Harper's the current favorite to be the MVP. So there's your, I don't think they have, I mean, Nola, I don't think they have a Rookie of the Year possibility. Because they kind of traded away a lot of those possible players to get this stacked team that they have. And then Nola's a great pitcher. He could easily be a top five pitcher in the league. And I mean the whole league. I don't just mean the National League. He already is top five in the National League.
Nationals.
So Scherzer, if Strasburg can stay healthy, he is a, a Cy Young candidate as well. And I think Juan Soto has a little bit of possibility to be an MVP, but let's not sleep on Rendon. Rendon puts up the big numbers, and his defense is good. It keeps his wins above replacement up in that competitive level.
Is Robles a rookie candidate?
And Robles is legit Rookie of the Year candidate.
Okay. Should we just move along from the Marlins?
Okay, here's the thing. I can't stress this enough, John, how much I like their starting
pitching.
Pitching's
really good.
Like, they have, I will say, they have three starting pitchers. One could even say four, but I will say three, where it's like, yeah, no, these are, like, Caleb Smith is a very good starting pitcher. He throws 95, 96 from the left side, and he's striking everybody out. Pablo Lopez has upped his K rate, his strikeout rate. What's the other guy, Richards? And Urena, I mean, he's a number four starter, whatever, who was their opening day starter. But maybe I think that was more just for, like, you know, what's the word?
Longevity?
Yeah, longevity, right? Like, he's been around on the team, so it's like
throw him a bone.
Seniority, that's what I'm thinking, you know. But yeah, it's an and then Alcantara is, I mean, he's one adjustment away from being a number two starter in the league. It's exciting.
Well, hopefully the development team will get them consistent.
But that offense, man.
That's bad.
Whoa. Bad. That's a bad offense.
No run production whatsoever in that lineup.
Yeah. And you got to figure they're dumping Starlin Castro as soon as
he'll be gone.
A contender needs a second baseman.
Yep, he'll be gone. Prado will most likely be gone. So they'll have, you know, nobody left.
Yeah.
Not that those two are, you know, stellar players by any means. Their best days are far behind.
We wind up spending more time on the Marlins than anyone else. Let's move on.
Red Sox.
Okay, so no Rookie of the Year candidate. Chris Sale, Cy Young, David Price-ish. And MVP, of course, you have Mookie and J.D. Martinez.
Okay. Yankees.
My personal favorite for MVP is Aaron Judge. I don't think they have a starter that can win the Cy Young with Severino being injured and James Paxton being not quite the big maple, but maybe like the maybe there's some rot in that maple.
The sapling?
Well, he's not quite a sapling. He's a and then Rookie of the Year, do they have? I don't think they have a Rookie of the Year.
Frazier? Would he qualify if he?
No, he's not he's not rookie eligible anymore.
Blue Jays. Tons of
Rookie of the Year. And Aaron Sanchez is up to 97 miles an hour. That's not bad. So I don't know what happened to him sort of last year and a little bit the year before, but like he does seem to be throwing some good stuff up there. But I've never really been a fan of his, but anytime you got someone throwing 97, but there's no way he wins a Cy Young. Rookie of the Year, you got Vladimir Guerrero Jr., of course, but then also these other guys, Rowdy Tellez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a first base DH would have to go insano to make it, but I mean, really, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is as soon as he's whatever next week, he'll be up. Yeah. He played last night in their opener, the minor league opener, and he'll be up next week.
So his oblique is healed. He's ready.
Yeah, so he just has to like play a little bit, get back into playing shape or whatever, which he could easily do on the major league team. But why not just push it back a little bit?
Okay. How about that service time anyone on the Orioles? Anyone? Bueller?
No. But they have a couple of Rookie of the Year, like Yusnail Diaz, DJ Stewart. Who's that other guy? I always forget for them. That, like, he came up, like, 2 years ago, but still has his rookie eligibility.
Chance Sisko?
No, he lost his rookie eligibility. But they have him in the minors right now, yeah. Right? Didn't we talk about this?
No, we haven't. Yeah.
He had a great spring, and they sent him to the minors. Yeah. There's another guy out there. Who cares? It's the Orioles. No one cares. Everyone's like, okay, who's next?
Rays.
So sorry.
Rays.
Okay, Rays. So obviously Snell is a Cy Young. MVP? Am I mistaken? There's not really an MVP.
Fam is probably the only one. But is he really of that caliber?
Yeah, that's a super stretch. I mean, they have great players coming from the minor leagues. But I think it's just, they're one of those things kind of like, they have good players at every position. You know, I love Yandy Diaz. Mm-hmm. Love Yandy. But I don't think they have an MVP. And then they don't have any rookies up yet. No, that's not true. Brandon Lau is still a rookie. Not to be confused with Nate Lowe. Last name spelled the same but pronounced differently. Mm-hmm. And Nate Lowe should be coming up once he establishes that AA or AAA pitching can't handle him. So,
okay. Pirates.
First base. Jameson Taillon, former number two pick or number three pick. I think he's got the stuff and the goods for being a whatever.
Is Chris MVP, Archer's days behind him?
No, I actually like Chris Archer on the Pirates. I think they made an adjustment. It's funny because they traded him and they traded Tyler Glasnow. Mm-hmm. And the Rays adjusted Glasnow and made him a bit better pitcher. And I think the Pirates adjusted Chris Archer and made him a better pitcher than
so
he was.
He was so amped for his opening day start in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He was like a kid. Yeah. He's like fist pumping left and right. It's pretty exciting for Pirates fans.
Well, also, can you imagine what it's like to be a Major League Baseball player and to suddenly play for fans?
Right, to have people at
the
park.
To leave Tampa Bay and be like, whoa, what are all these things in the stands that are making noises and eating and talking to each other and yelling at the game and following and clapping and cheering. Like, what is this?
How about the Cardinals?
Cardinals, so Paul Goldschmidt, who I just traded in one of my fantasy leagues. I poorly set up my team, and I had to trade him away for Charlie Blackmon, which is essentially a swap of great players. But I needed an outfielder and had too many first basemen. Anyway, so enough about me. He's a great player. He's already hit, four home runs? Mm-hmm. I think it took him 50 games to get four home runs last year because that weird funk he started the season out in. I don't think the Cardinals have a true Cy Young candidate. They have good pitching, but I think that's going to be their big problem is the starting pitching.
Mm-hmm. Cubs.
All right. So no Cy Youngs. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez. Those are your MVP possibilities. They might vulture votes off of each other.
And they have no their cupboards are.
They don't have any rookies up currently. Yeah. And they're a little thin in the minor leagues. So
Brewers.
Okay, so their Rookie of the Year possibility would be Keston Hiura. If they bring him up, which they may not, because they've got, Moustakas at second base. So
he's a second baseman?
And why not? He's going to hit 35
home
runs.
Right. Yeah, I do remember reading about that there was some talk about, the signing of Moustakas blocked Hiura's path to the majors.
Yeah.
At least short term.
Yeah. Cy Young, nobody. I mean, maybe Hader, right? Right,
could be.
I mean, I don't think with the current system, I don't think he can get it. But, I mean, if he pitched 80 innings with a under one ERA and 40 saves, it would be hard to say no, but I still don't think.
And
don't
an
think
8-1 record.
Yeah, like it would. It's possible, yeah. But I wouldn't count on it. And then MVP, I don't know. Do they have like an MVP guy? I mean, I guess Yelich right? Because yeah. He won last year.
Kane.
And you know what? Yelich. What am I even saying? Yeah, of course, Yelich. Yelich is their guy.
Reigning MVP.
Yeah. Yeah. So he could win again. Could. Yes.
The Reds.
Okay, so Votto, I guess, would be their best hitter. I love Puig so much, but he has not started off well. No one on that team has started off well, Votto included. And then no pitcher for Cy Young. And then Nick Senzel, he's had like some sort of injury mm-hmm. in before the season started. And he is now practicing and playing and should be up once the service time issue clears next week. So
let's move over to the American League West, Astros.
Rookie of the Year possibility, Kyle Tucker, if they bring him mm-hmm. up. Cy Young, of course, Cole and Verlander, and MVP.
Three or four guys.
Bregman, Altuve, Correa. He's not putting up big numbers, but they're strong numbers. So the RBIs and runs aren't there yet, but he's hitting the ball hard and he's healthy. So that's kind of a big deal. And then Springer is always kind of an outside, right. Whatever.
Okay, Angels.
Trout, of course, for MVP. No starting pitcher for Cy Young. And, of course, this is the problem with the Angels, is that they just don't have a number one or even a number two starter mm-hmm. on their team. Mm-hmm. It's all like a bunch of number three starters that'll probably get – or four, and then they'll probably get all injured. So, Rookie of the Year, they have that guy Canning, minor league pitcher. They might bring him up.
Rangers.
No Cy Young. I can't imagine Gallo getting an MVP with a .230 batting average, but he's got home runs and walks out the wazoo. So he's on pace for something like 180 walks on the season. I know it's pace in early in the season, but he's getting walked a lot, and he's got a lot of power. So I would say him maybe. Rookie of the Year, I don't think they have anyone up. I don't think they're – they have a couple of guys that are interesting in their minor leagues, but no one that's coming up.
The A's.
Well, I thought Luzardo would be the Rookie of the Year guy for them, mm-hmm. but they're holding him back, and he's got some issues, and so he's not. They thought he was going to start the team, start the season with the team, but he's not. So MVP, I don't think you get Chris Davis. I think Chapman maybe, mm-hmm. but Chapman would have to go to a next level. So I would say no. I think they're going to be one of those teams like the Rays, where it's just like everybody's good. And they just pound you with right. a bunch of good players mm-hmm. and no one single great player.
Mariners.
Okay, so no Cy Young.
Marco Gonzalez? 3-0?
No. Stop it, John.
Okay.
No MVP, and I don't think they're playing any rookies yet. So I don't know what their plan is with that, but they don't. So none of the above.
Padres.
Okay, so Tatis Jr. could be Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. A full year will help. Chris Paddock could also be Rookie of the Year.
Mejia.
Full year will help. MVP possibilities, Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. And Cy Young, no.
And Dodgers.
Cy Young would be, no. I mean, if Kershaw could come up in a week and just be like
80%.
1.5 ERA. Yeah. Like, just if he could be like under 2 ERA the whole season and just kind of maybe, but I don't see it. And then MVP, Bellinger, like right now, is the MVP. Mm-hmm. So, and then Rookie of the Year, Verdugo is their one rookie that has a shot.
Giants.
Bumgarner?
For MVP.
I mean, it's there, right? He's good.
And Cy Young. Got to put up those numbers.
No MVP, because the team just won't win. It just won't be anywhere close. No MVP and no rookies.
Rockies.
Okay, so Garrett Hampson could be Rookie of the Year if they injure themselves into making him a starter. MVP Arenado and German Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been incredible.
Yeah, he's
hard to imagine being able to even say someone from the Rockies could be a Cy Young candidate. But even if he doesn't have the best numbers, you got to figure people are going to factor that in a little bit with Colorado and be like, wow, this guy got like a 2.5 ERA in Colorado. Possibility.
Diamondbacks.
No MVPs. Zach Greinke. You got to imagine they're just anyone that would take that salary off them, they would trade him.
Leading the D-backs in home runs.
Leading the D-backs in home runs, which is sad. I mean, I guess who's the guy at first base? Walker? Not Colton Welker. That's the Rockies guy. Anyway, they got a guy who might be Rookie of the Year. I don't know.
Okay, Tigers.
Tigers. Kristen Stewart could be Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. Puts up enough crazy numbers. No Cy Young and no MVPs.
Indians.
Lindor and Ramirez could be MVPs. Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, or Clevinger could be Cy Youngs. Any one of those four. They're just incredible lights out pitchers. So, and I don't think they have a rookie coming up, right? They don't have a rookie on the team, and they're not really lining. They have a couple of good rookies coming that look like more like next year. Mm-hmm. George Valera, and then the other guy, the third baseman, Nolan Jones. And then there's Bradley at first base, but I don't think Bradley gets up because of they're kind of covered at DH and first-ish. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Twins.
Barrios, Cy Young possibility, looking strong. Mm-hmm. MVP, no. Rookie of the Year, no.
Okay, White Sox.
Okay, so Rookie of the Year, Eloy Jimenez is a great candidate for that. No Cy Youngs, and could Yoan Moncada actually be the guy that everyone thought he was going to be now and be an MVP? It's a non-zero chance, John. I would say it's a 5% chance. He looks a little bit different this year, and in the good way.
Good. White Sox are an up-and-coming team.
It's exciting, man. It's exciting.
And non-up-and-coming teams, the Royals.
So not Sal Perez for MVP. No. Though, you know what? Adalberto Mondesi could make a run at MVP. I mean, if he figures out the on-base percentage thing, he's already got 3 triples, John.
Then he got an inside the park home run, right? Or was that a
and an inside yeah. the like he's got a home run, 3 triple. I mean, he's hitting the ball hard. He's striking out a lot. But you know what? So did Javi Baez last year. He came in second in the MVP. Like, it's part of the game now.
Yeah.
He could be an MVP candidate, even on a bad team. Like, he could put up numbers. Anyway, that's all I got. And I don't think they have any rookies up, and I don't yet. And I don't. Maybe one of their starting pitchers is maybe Singer. I don't know.
No, I think
I wouldn't. No,
I think everybody's sleeping on the Royals this year, and for good reason.
It's because they're in a coma. Right.
That wraps up Around the Horn. We're moving to extra innings, taking a look outside the world of baseball. So, sad day for football fans, or is it because no one really paid attention to
I almost started paying attention to the AAF, and then it shut down.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, okay, they're playing games. All right, maybe maybe next weekend I'll watch it. But I think a lot of people were like that, and next weekend never came, and now next weekend will never come.
And that,
the AAF has shut down.
And that puts a lot of pressure on the XFL. Will the XFL... If there isn't an appetite for mid-season football, would they be smart in ramping that up?
It just seems like there should be a market for
it. You would think. And 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there was. And there was the people were stoked about it, and it was more of a poorly run financial situation with the XFL last time. But this was, they didn't even make it through a season.
Yeah. A lot of players got kind of screwed with I had already rented a house, and I'm in a lease for the next 6 months.
Right. Yeah, it's surprising a little bit that
Joke's on you, pal.
So the ongoing, this will probably make Jussie Smollett the most talked about person in extra innings, even rivaling the Kardashians.
Because, I mean, he's getting up in the Kardashian zone here.
He is. He definitely is. So Chicago plans to sue him for all the time and effort spent on his case, and
right.
I guess supporting his case initially. So they want and he still continues to talk about it as if he's vindicated.
Right. So he said he's walking around saying that he's been vindicated, that he was the victim of this crime. But the city's like, no, we have the evidence and you pled down, you accepted a plea, which is not necessarily an admission of guilt, but like their contention is this guy did it and here's all the evidence. And so they sent him a bill and he is apparently not going to pay it, which probably is smart for him not to pay it. But now they're going to sue him. And here's the thing. The standard for evidence in a civil suit is lower than a criminal charge. Because all you have to do is show a preponderance of evidence. You don't have to show beyond a reasonable doubt.
Jussie should talk to the Dodgers about the Lasorda bobbleheads, see if they can.
maybe he stole the bobbleheads to pay off the Chicago penalty.
Could be. So the big exciting news, the big final season, the last six episodes, Game of Thrones, is nigh.
Yes.
It is upon us.
Is it this Sunday?
I don't know.
Or is it the next Sunday?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But if it is this Sunday, wow. Yeah.
They did the premiere. Like, I know they did the, they had the big screening of the premiere with all the stars and all that stuff. So,
well, the final.
And this is the second half of the last season.
Right. So six episodes. Yeah. And the final episode's 90 minutes. It's like it'll be a movie, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some scenes in this one that took them 2 weeks to film this one battle scene.
Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks to film it.
To give you all a point of reference, I shot a movie in 2 weeks.
So yeah, there's a lot of money being spent. I'm sure their budget's just a tad bigger than Nowhere Girl.
Yes.
Just a tad.
Yes. Yes. If you added, I think, 3 zeros to the end of our budget, I think you would have more of their budget.
Okay.
I would say their budget is 1,000 times more than what ours was.
So, but the other thing too about it is obviously there's tremendous excitement, but there's also this
for Nowhere Girl, you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, for Nowhere Girl.
For my film Nowhere Girl, which, by the way, gets international release in May.
Oh,
so I'll be
that's exciting.
Promoting that to all our international fans.
Very good. So all of you folks,
watch it on video on demand.
Right, all of you folks out there that have Fall Territory translated into your native language, look forward to Nowhere Girl. It's coming soon.
That's right.
But I guess the Hangover thing is the big thing too, is that when it's over, but there's like 3 spinoffs in the works in development too.
Oh, wait, what? I didn't know this.
Yeah. There's like 3 different HBO spinoffs and movies being discussed.
It's like Hodor.
The early
it's a situation
days,
comedy.
The
Hodor and Groot.
Right. Before his name was Hodor, before he had to worry about all that. No, it's exciting. I think it's going to be looks just based on the trailer that they released, which was really doesn't show anything other than intensity. It looks like it's going to be it will deliver, and it has for all, depending on how many seasons you count, the half seasons and stuff like that. It's there hasn't been a bad season, I don't think.
Right.
So yeah, that kind of wraps it up. What's coming up next?
Find out how the Lannisters did in the rubber game against the Starks on the next episode of Westeros League Baseball Tonight.